Father, I just thank you for this day. Thank you for your many blessings. And most of all, Lord, we just open our hearts to you today and your word. We ask you to bless this day and bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I guess it's quite an honor being a veteran to be up here. We all celebrate this weekend for all the people and that served, all the men and women, and I just want to honor them, the people that I served with, and the men, many of the men that didn't come back. So, Father, right now, I just want to talk about another type of warrior, and that's each one of you sitting here today. We're all warriors in God's kingdom. We serve him by putting on the armor of God each and every day. We get up, we open our Bibles, we pray. Most of all, we pray for our family members and people we know and all the sick people. I have one special person I want to talk about. She made a big, big difference in my life. And let me get my notes out here. She was a prayer warrior and would open her Bible each and every day. And she would definitely be praying for each. She would pray for the people she knew. She prayed for missionary work. She prayed for all the children she would have on Sunday and her Sunday Bible schools and stuff like that. She was a person that was very dedicated to prayer. And I call her my prayer warrior. That was Kathy's mom. I call her Mom D. Without her, I would not be here today. She did a lot of prayers. She loved praying for part of, she played a part of a clown. And she would, during for children evangelism and stuff like that, she roller skated. She loved roller skating with her first husband. She was quite the person. The character. But she loved going to Canada for missionary evangelism. And we'd go up there every year, and they had a conference up there in Three Hills, Alberta. We'd go to, and that's one of the missionaries. Oh, it's Mike itself? Okay. But anyway, I rededicated my prayer and that missionary. So, but she was definitely praying for me each and every day. I know here today if it wasn't for her. And I like to, I left my phone out in the car. That's okay. Don't worry about it, Kathy. But there was a Psalms, and it talks about God watching over you each and every day. I can't remember which psalm it was, but anyway, it kind of reminded me when I was in the service that each and every day he was protecting me from harm and whatever would come up. I mean, he was definitely watching over me because I could have been very easily gone to Nam. I ended up in Germany. Of all places, because I was drafted. But it was one of those deals where I think he, each part of my life, he was watching over where I was going to be, because he knew where I was gung-ho in the service. Trust me, I was. And so I could see that each step of my life, he was with me. Not that I was a Christian, but I had a prayer warrior behind me, and that was Kathy's mom. Probably praying for me each and every day. So I've got a few verses I'd like to read, and it's glasses. Yeah. Now I don't know what it feels like to be nervous. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Prayer continually. Colossians 4:1, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And Matthew 26:41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always, always keep on praying for all the saints. Jeremiah 29:12, we will call upon me and you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. And I think he does very much. Deuteronomy 4:7, what other nation is so great as to have their God near them the way the Lord our God is near us wherever we pray to him? 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their nation or their land. And I think that comes very meaningful today. So if the worship team would come forward, and I'll pray for them. So pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. Again, thank you for your love for each one of us, Father, and that we serve you, a gracious and living God. Lift up the worship team and their songs. May you be blessed by it and by what we have for today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. Would you stand and worship with us?
Consider all the world's thy answer. My soul, my Savior, God to thee.
to see you this last time.
Holy, holy, holy.
Jesus Christ, my King.
wonderful name it is, and nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Times I've failed, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Thank you.
cast my mind.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down. Praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name.
realized at the time. But just looking at them side by side here, they're both praising his name. What a powerful name. Nothing can stand against. No rival, no equal. Death could not hold him. The veil tore before him. He silenced. He silenced the grave. We're standing here on Pentecost Sunday. What a reminder. The grave has absolutely no hold on those that are in Christ. No hold. It might make noise. That's it. What a powerful name. God, we stand here today and we worship you. We thank you that we have that privilege, that liberty. We have that liberty also from those that have gone before. Some laid down their lives, some still with us today. And God, we thank you for them as well, that we can be here in a country, that we can worship you, we can serve you. And we can stand here and say, what a powerful name the name of Jesus is. And we don't have to worry about someone coming through the door and say, you can't say that, because we can. We have that right. We have that liberty. God, help us not take that for granted, but help us to use it. Help us to share it with those around us, to know where that liberty comes from. It comes from you. God, I thank you for this morning. I pray that you would continue to bless us here today. You've already blessed us, God. I pray that you would continue to let our hearts take in what you have for us here today, God. May your name be lifted high. And may we leave this place today and spread your name to those around us. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name.
Father, for your gracious love and your mercies, and Lord, what you've done for us on the cross, and I just pray that you'll help us to hear your word. Lord, just bless Jason, anoint him, and may he present the gospel to us, Lord, and may we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, welcome. Everybody who was up late partying last night, I'll keep an eye on you and make sure you're staying awake. Actually, speaking of which, I think there's a row. I'm going to do something really different this morning. I think there's a whole row of boys right there in the back row. Because I think they were up late last night. Why don't you come join me right up here on this front bench? It happens to be open this morning. Normally we wouldn't do it, but because it's not open, but it's open, and somebody just needs to sit here. Sweet. Awesome. Front and center. Isaac, this is a first, right here in the front. Sweet. If there's not enough room, maybe you can sit right there, right beside Ross or something. Thank you. So I've thought about doing that for a couple weeks, but I was like, well, maybe they won't even come up here. I don't know. They did. Acts chapter 2 is where we're at this morning. Now you can't fall asleep. You got to listen. Chapter 2, verses 37 through 47. We're going to finish chapter 2 this morning. So we're going to read that, and I've got a few other scriptures we're going to read as we go. But Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 It says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.' And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." The reason I brought you guys up here is so that if somebody comes in late, there's a back bench that's empty and they don't have to walk all the way up here. So, last week we talked about what was happening, and Peter is trying to explain what is happening. This is Pentecost Sunday. It's been 40 days since Easter Sunday. This is Pentecost Sunday. This is when the Sunday or the day that is set aside that the Holy Spirit was given and the Holy Spirit came. And we do have an object lesson that we'll get to. I'm going to get mine out before I forget. We will get to it here pretty soon. But Peter didn't want to miss the point. He didn't want anybody to miss out on the point that Jesus was the answer. And it says that where we ended the last week was, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And Peter wanted everybody to know Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the reason why this is happening. This is all because of him. And the verse that we start with this morning says, "Now when they heard this," talking about all the people that are listening, keep in mind in their own language, they're hearing what Peter is saying, what the disciples are saying. They're hearing all these things. And it says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." They were cut to the heart. What does that mean? I think it means they were convicted. It really spoke to them. It meant something to them. What they were saying, they knew was true, and they couldn't run away from it. How often does something in your life cut to the heart? How often do we find ourselves in a situation that somebody says something or speaks something into our life, and it just hits us right where we are? We know it's right. We know it's true, but we don't really want to acknowledge it yet. How can we walk away from it? Because we know what's being said is exactly right. How often are we experiencing something that cuts us to the heart? Maybe some things like this that happen, they make us question whether or not we are sincere in what we believe. So these people, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What should we do? And I'm going to read a little bit out of Luke that's talking about John the Baptist. This Acts refers to Luke quite a bit because I think it was the same author. But we refer back to Luke, and it's talking about John the Baptist is sharing with people, and he's preaching Luke chapter 3 and verses 7 through 20 that I'm going to read. "Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So the people asked him, saying, 'What shall we do then?' He answered and said to them, 'He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none, and he who has food, let him do likewise.' The tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, 'Teacher, what shall we do?' And he said to them, 'Collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, "And what shall we do?" So he said to them, "Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages." Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." And with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this above all, that he shut John up in prison. Now, there's a lot of people that John is talking to here, and they're all coming to him in their situation that they're in because this is cutting to their heart. He says, what do we do? What are we supposed to do? What do we change? How do we do something different? And he addresses each one specifically, because they're being convicted about what is being said. But it also is, interestingly enough, right here, points out Herod, who was also being cut to the heart, but he didn't want to have anything to do with it. He didn't like what was being said because it directly affected how he was living. So when I said sometimes this might make us question whether we are sincere or not, something that might cut us to the heart. Does it mean that we've been living in sin? Maybe, but not necessarily, because sometimes every once in a while we hear something that just hits us right where we are, and we don't know how to handle it. And so here is Peter, and he's talking in Acts, and he's saying all these things. And they ask the question, "Men and brethren, what should we do?" What an opportunity. What an opportunity that Peter and the disciples have here. If we were to hear this teaching, how would we have reacted? If we hear it today, how do we react? Because we can see what has happened. We can read the whole book. We can see history and what has happened. We have experienced the goodness of God. We've experienced the gift of the Holy Spirit. We've experienced a lot of these things. How to react when we hear something that cuts us to the heart? Is our life going well? Things are comfortable, and we don't want to mess any of that up. Sometimes that might be the case. I just really enjoy where I am, and I don't want anything to change. So I don't really want to listen. These people in Acts wanted to know, what do we do? What do we do? We believe what you're saying, but what do we do? Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." You see, it's still a common thought in this time that this is only for the Jews, because they were the ones going to the temple, worshiping in the temple, and studying Scripture. And this they saw as the fulfillment of Scripture. The people that are coming to Christ right here, and that it says 3,000 were added that day. These are the people that are believing. This is the fulfillment. Jesus was the fulfillment of everything Scripture is talking about. The problem is that there's a lot of Jews that still don't believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of what they've learned, or of what they know. Repent, be baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise, again, was for everybody. It's to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. It's for everybody. It is for everybody. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 14 through 18. "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." What Jesus accomplished on the cross is incredible. It's incredible. And then he leaves. He doesn't do just that, but then he goes back to the right hand of the Father and he sends us the Holy Spirit. And that's what this day, the day of Pentecost, represents. He sent us the Holy Spirit. What an exciting time that would have been. Can you imagine? Peter and the disciples are preaching, and it goes on to say that 3,000 people are added to them that day. 3,000 people. How exciting is that? That's incredible. Are we still excited, as excited today? Are we still accomplishing his purpose for us today? Because it's really easy to be excited when things are going very well and people are coming to know the Lord and people are wanting to serve the Lord, but then we find ourselves in times where or maybe we are in a little bit of trouble or we don't understand, we don't know where our keys are at and we have no idea where to look or we're pretty sure we know where they are. What are we going to do in those situations? Are we still excited? Can we still have this joy that only the Lord can give? Because I think the answer is yes. I know the answer is yes. But I know it doesn't always seem that way. Verse 40 of Acts chapter 2, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Romans chapter 12. Verses 9 through 21. There's a few verses here I'd like to read. This is what living like a believer looks like. This is what Peter, I believe, was trying to share with them as well. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You want to know what the purpose of living the Christian life looks like? It's right there in Romans chapter 12. That's a tall order to follow. But that's what we're supposed to live like. This is what Peter is telling, the first step to get to this point, this first step in starting this life of living for Christ is to repent and be baptized. Those are the two things. I don't think baptism is salvation. Repentance is what where salvation comes. Baptism is showing people that you have accepted Christ as your Savior. But these are the two things that Peter asked them, told them that they should do. Sometimes here, if we go back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." Now, sometimes I wonder if this is where we get a little bit complacent. Are we continuing steadfastly in the teaching of the gospel, in the teaching of the word, in what the word says? Are we continuing steadfastly? Are we every bit as serious and committed today as when we first believed? You ever be around someone that just accepted the Lord and they are excited? Man, they're excited. And that excitement can be contagious is the word I'm looking for. It can be very contagious. And then after a while, we're like, well, you know, good, you know, enjoy that. But then real life's going to start, right? Why do we do that? Why do we say that? Because I've done it too. Can we still have that excitement? Is it possible to still have that excitement and not put a wet blanket on somebody that's excited about living for the Lord? Why do we have to spread a wet blanket over top of that? Why can't we be excited with them? Can we get excited with people that get a new job that's a really good job? Are we excited? We're excited with families that are having little ones here. That's exciting. We can be excited. Are we excited when somebody, I don't know, as simple as gets a new puppy? Can we be excited with people? Or are we busy comparing what we have with what they have? Because the Lord has blessed each one of us. It might look different. It might be in different ways. We did a training class with Mirror Ministries last week or a couple weeks ago, whatever it was. And the interesting, well, they were comparing different, I don't have my paper with me, which levels of income or people that have money, no money, or lots, whatever it is. I don't remember the exact titles. Poverty, middle class, and higher class. That's what it was. You know what the number one possession of the poverty was? The one most important thing for people living in poverty. You know what it was? It was people. It was people. If we can't get a hold of that, no matter what class we're living in, I think we have missed everything. That was interesting to me to see. It was people. It wasn't about how much you have. It's not about how much prestige or whatever amount of things that you have. It was about the people that were in your life. Is that not what it should be? We're talking about in Acts the church that is starting. This is where the church is getting started and was all about the people. What do? We hear you preaching. We hear you teaching. What do? Repent and be baptized. And then it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in what they were teaching. They continued seeking after it. Don't just listen to what I say. You get your own Bible and you study it. Let's do this together. Let's do it together. You have the same Holy Spirit that I have in me. Let's do it together. See what he's telling you. See where he's leading you. See what he's asking you to do. This is a lifestyle. This is a choice that we make every day. It's the way that we live. It's not something that we just get up and think, you know what, I think today I'm going to live in the middle class. No. This is a lifestyle that we choose to live. Are people important? And this is what I see in Acts, that people all are very important. In verse 43, it says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. You know, we had at Christmas, we had a heart, a black one, that we came and laid in the thing that was up here. And then on Easter, we had just the white heart that we came and everybody filed up here. Does everybody get one of these this morning? I think there's more in the back if we didn't get one. But and now today is Pentecost Sunday, the day that the Holy Spirit was given, the Holy Spirit was sent. Do we realize what we have in the Holy Spirit? And I was going to have a little bit of another illustration, but this might work just as well. But if we take this mic, and I don't need another mic, but if I just take the mic and I hang the cord there and I have the mic, and so it looks like it should work. It's a mic that is very capable of working, and I can talk into it and think that it works. And you might still be able to hear me because you're sitting up here now. But if you're still in the back, you wouldn't be able to hear with this mic. But you know, really, all that we have to do for our lives to be different, to be led by the Spirit, is to just plug it in. To just plug it in. Then everybody can hear when you use that. You plug your life in to living by what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. What a difference that's going to make. The idea with these this morning, the gifts, this is the fruit of the Spirit, is what's on the bottom card that's hanging off there. And that comes with the Holy Spirit. You want to know if what people are living by is right, you look at the fruit. You look at the fruit of what the Spirit is going to be, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when you read the verse, it says, against this, there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit. But the reason for the string on here is we have been given eternal life. We've been given the faith that we need. We've been given the Holy Spirit. But if we don't take that string that's hanging there, and if we don't connect it to connect the circuit, we can live life, and we can be successful in life, and we can be a believer, and we can go to heaven. Without that connected, we can still do all those things. But if we connect that, there's power there. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It's the same power. But if we choose to leave it disconnected, we can still operate in life. We can still live life. We can still love the Lord. But there's something there. There's something there if we connect this circuit. If we plug that microphone in so that we can actually have that power. We can plug in to that power. And God will lead you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. There may be times where you don't feel like He's saying anything, and there may be times where you feel like you're hearing from Him every day. And I think that's just part of life. But if we don't have that power cord plugged in, or if we don't have this connection circuit completed, we will not feel that. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. They were in awe of what was going on. This is the type of fear that we're talking about. They weren't scared. They were in awe of what was happening. And I don't know how many times you are in awe of what God does. I don't think I'm in awe enough of what God does, because He really deserves that. Because He's that powerful, He's that good, He blesses us, He has blessed us that much. And we take it all for granted, and we don't even realize what we have. Mark chapter 16. This is where the Great Commission is given, and then following that, it talks a little bit more about signs. Wonders and signs were done through the apostles. If we look at Mark chapter 16, verse 15, or 14, let's start at. Later he appeared to the 11. This is Jesus appearing to them. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." What in the world are they talking about here? This is part of the power that comes with the Holy Spirit. It does, and I honestly have to say there's a lot of times that I probably don't have enough faith that that can happen. Do I believe it can happen? Absolutely I do. I really do. But don't forget the one phrase, it says, "And these signs will follow those who believe." And then it says, "In my name." In my name. And let's not forget that little phrase right there. Because it's not by my power, it's not by your power, it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is it, nothing more, nothing less. It's only because of what Christ has done that these signs that they're talking about, like laying on hands and people being healed, I don't recommend just drinking something to see if it will kill you or not. Don't try that. But if you are serving Him and you are living for Him and you are... Do you remember the story of the snake that came out and bit Paul and everybody expected him to die? And the next morning he got up and came out and started teaching and they thought they were seeing a ghost. That's what it's talking about. The Holy Spirit is amazing. There's so much power there that I don't understand everything that it is. And I don't know if we ever will this side of heaven. But I know there's power there. But I also know that if we don't connect that circuit, if we don't plug in that power cord, we're going to miss out on what God had set up for us. If we keep going just a little bit to finish out Acts chapter 2. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Now it sounds like they kind of had a community going on, and they were helping to take care of each other, and they sold everything they had, and they gave it to the people that needed it, and this worked for a little while, but I don't think this lasted very long, because I think that somebody would have come in and said, you know what, I could take advantage of this, and I could get whatever I need. So I don't think that particular situation lasted that terribly long. But it was a community, and we still live in a community. Yes, we have our own houses, and we have our own things that we do, but we still need that feeling of community, because that's the support that we have. Last night, we were at whichever graduation party you were at. You could feel that sense of community was there. These are people that care. We're excited again with somebody, but it's the sense of community. And that's still very, very important. It may not look exactly the same as it did when the church first started, but we still can imitate that to a certain degree. We are all called to be generous, to use what God has blessed us with to lead others to Christ. Then it says in verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. So they're used to going to the temple, and they didn't just immediately quit going to the temple. I think they still went to the temple for a while, except the religious leaders then eventually would realize that they were believing that Jesus was the answer and had fulfilled all of the prophecies that had been talked about. The religious leaders did not believe that. So I don't think the religious leaders allowed them to come to the temple very long. And I think that's when they started meeting in people's homes. And that's how the church, as we know it more today, started. They were hospitable. And they were happy to do it. They found joy in breaking bread together, and we still do that today. Do you notice that every time we get together, there's something to eat? Very, very rarely do we get together and not have something to eat. There's something about breaking bread together that is very scriptural, and it builds community, it builds relationship, and that's what it's all about. It doesn't matter what kind of bread you break. It doesn't matter how fancy of a meal or how simple of a meal you make. It's the fact that you're breaking bread together. That's what it means. That's what it's all about. And that's what's happening here, and I think we still strive to do that today. People, let's finish here. 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. It says, having favor with all the people. The people that were there obviously could tell something was different. Something was changing. There was something going on that they wanted to know what it was and how they could be a part of it, because it said they had favor with all the people. And then it says in the next verse that they were adding to the church daily those who were being saved. Do we share? How often do we share what we believe? And it isn't always just words talking. Sometimes you can probably share better by the way you live, or by the way you act, or by the things you do. But how often do we do that? Or is that our purpose? Is that when you go into town to go to the grocery store, you're going to get groceries. I understand that. But do you remember and realize that you have more of a purpose than just going to get groceries? And it's just a reminder for me, as well as all of us today, that everywhere that we go and everything that we do, everybody that we meet, was that arranged by God? Is there something we're supposed to be looking for or watching for? Again, if we keep this connected, the Holy Spirit will give us wisdom. The Holy Spirit will guide us and give us direction in knowing who that is that we're supposed to talk to. Or maybe it's just holding the door open for somebody. I don't know what it might be. But just do it. If the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something like that, do it. Are we living in a way that causes people to take notice? I want to read just Romans. I read it already once, but I'm going to read it one more time. Romans 12 and verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And I'm just going to leave you with that this morning. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Would you stand up with me this morning? Let's live this week in a way that people will notice, people will take notice of, people will want to be a part of, people will want to come and ask you, what's going on in your life? What do you have to be so happy about? Father, thank you for your love this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us to stay connected to your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to be aware and alert, and I pray, Lord, that you would continue to speak through us. I pray that you would use us. I pray that you would bring opportunities in our path to minister your love to people. It's about you, and we just want to keep it that way. Thank you, Father, again for your love. I pray that you would guide our week, and I just pray that you bless each one that's here. Guide us as we go this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. If you shake somebody's hand, then you can be dismissed.